You're listening to the Nachum Segal Network, and this is By the Book, a program brought to you by our friends at Koren Publishers. Go to korenpub.com, K-O-R-E-N-pub.com, K-O-R-E-N-pub.com for all information. Today we have the opportunity to speak with Professor Mordechai Rotenberg. Professor Rotenberg is a professor emeritus at the Hebrew University of Yerushalayim, chair of the Rotenberg Institute for Jewish Psychology, and author of 13 books. In 2009, he won the Israel Prize for his pioneering work in the field of Jewish psychology. His works are read worldwide, inspiring educators and therapists to apply the principles of Tzimtzum to their therapeutic methods. All the information you need, go to Koren Pub website, korenpub.com. The book is entitled The Psychology of Tzimtzum. It introduces the groundbreaking thought of Israel Prize laureate Professor Mordechai Rotenberg, the founding father of Jewish psychology. The title, published by Magid, a division of Koren Publishers Jerusalem, offers works of contemporary Jewish thought from leading rabbis and scholars. Professor Mordechai Rotenberg, welcome to the Nachum Segal Network.
Welcome. Good evening. You want me to start? All right, all right.
I read some.
Let me lead. After 40, 50 years of being interviewed and so on, and I know the eternal question is, what is Jewish psychology? Is it Chinese psychology? You know, so I'll cut it short and say that my whole trip, my journey of 45 years writing and developing the whole Jewish part of psychology, I'm not knocking the other psychologists, it all begins from my experience in the mid-60s when I arrived at Berkeley, California, which was in the midst of rebelling against everything, against Vietnam and against protesting. The Berkeley campus was full of it. And among other things that they rebelled against and they protested against psychiatry, saying they founded even a movement which was called anti-psychiatry. And I started to ask questions, my teachers. one of the questions was, what are you saying? That what's wrong with psychiatry? You are using... the model, the medical model, right? You call it disease. You call it mental health, and all the lingo is all from the medical profession. Psychiatrists are doctors, MDs. So what's wrong with it? What's the difference between a disease like yellow jaundice that you're not worried about it? But psychiatry, they say that, so the answer I was given is it's irreversible. So I said, why irreversible? Why is it, explain to me, if it's a disease, dis-ease, then why shouldn't it be reversed? The answers were very evasive, and I started to read, this is my own history, historical books about the development of psychopathology, and I noticed that they used to write about demonology, which was a terrible backward kind of method, primitive, and they skipped over the whole period of Calvinistic damnation, which, was rooted in the idea of predestinal beliefs that people are born cursed, damned, and only you can't influence God at all. But you have to be lucky, be saved by miracles, and then you may be an elect. I mean, the development of what Calvin did is very smartly is a different story. He said if you want to find out retroactively whether you are born damned or saved or elect, then you have to work hard in your profession, and this is the essence of the Protestant ethic work ethos. We know this, everybody's known. But I asked, I looked into it. I said, why did you skip over this? This had no influence. I asked my teachers on psychiatry. They were quite evasive. And I came out and saying that, it fits very much the psychiatric model, which claims that once a schizophrenic, always a schizophrenic. Once a psychopath, always a psychopath. Put the psychopath in the prison for life and put the schizophrenic in the mental institutions. But there was no belief, actual belief that they can change. And I said, okay, let's ask the question, who are the damned in our society today? And whether they can they be helped? Can they be changed? And again, a psychiatrist used to whisper in my ear saying, you're right. This is very deterministic. This is the way the psychiatric profession is led, directed. So I said, okay, what I have to do now is that if demonology is more enlightened than psychiatry, excuse me for saying it, because if a demon possesses you, you can, through exorcism, get rid of it, like a D-book. You know, a D-book goes in, and D-book can go out. You have the methods. But if you say psychiatry, a psychopathic person or a schizophrenic person is for life, it's irreversible, then this is very harsh. It gives no hope for treatment. And I started to delve into the study of origins of wickedness. What does it mean? Deviance. Why? What does it mean? And I actually said, you have to understand, if you want to treat people in a psychotherapeutic setting, you have to understand the roots of it. And the roots led to what we call in theology, theodicea, means the study of evil. Tzadik v'ralo, you know that expression?
Yep.
How do we explain this? And I noticed that there are three approaches to explain the evil in the world. If you have the old Zoroastric Persians, they had this division of the kingdom of Satan and the kingdom of God. This is dichotomy. And this is completely separated. They are in fight, so it's no problem to explain the evil and deviance. But the Neo-Platonic versions were more in trouble how to explain the possibility of evil under the kingdom of the good God. How do you reconcile this? And they had an answer that evil is lacking, something which lacks. I'm sorry, there was a noise here.
No problem.
That's what I say. Where goodness is not existing, there evil can celebrate. But the Jewish approach, especially the Kabbalistic, believes that let atar panui minei, which has no place in the world where God does not exist. So how do you explain the possibility of evil? And I stepped on the beautiful Jewish original concept of tzimtzum.
Okay.
When actually, that's where I said, this is my paradigm. And I started to read about it and be enchanted. Why? Because it says God is all over. But in order to make space for the world and for the possibility of evil and for sickness and diseases and all this, God constructed in himself, within himself, and made space for humanity, for faltering, for all kind of my ambition of choice. And I said, that's a beautiful model that actually can be emulated by human beings. You say a father is strong, he's all over the place, but in order to give space for his son, he constructs himself and he makes a space for him, let him grow. And I started to read Hasidic literature where they expound and apply this idea how to, you know, especially the Maggid of Mezrich, the follower of Baal Shem Tov, how do you go down to your son, your little son that you can understand and make space for him. And in every aspect of life, you actually, the idea of making room for, evacuating room for the life and its faults is a beautiful idea, which I adopted. And ever since then, I am in trouble because I started to write. First, I wrote a book, Damnation and Deviance, which was grabbed by the Free Press Macmillan. They said that you can make a big career. I was invited to international conferences, and people who were actually presidents of the APA, American Psychological Association, they said that through psychiatry and mental health is influenced by that these Calvinistic notions. And I started to say, "What? So what do I do now?" So I wrote a book, Damnation and Deviance, and it was very popular. It was printed several times. It was even translated into Japanese because they said I understood the Japanese psychology of life. But then I went on, and you know, once I was in trouble and really committed to this idea how to develop tzimtzum as a paradigm for mental health, for which makes space also for the old notions. I said I cannot come and say I'm the new psychiatric Messiah. Drop everything else and listen to me. No, I'm not. This is not my. This is not the idea of construction. Construction, you make space for others and say, I have something to add, to contribute. And I discovered four dimensions of human relations, which can be explained and add a substituted. Would say an alternative model for mental health and for treating psychopaths, criminals. So let me start by this saying that instead of adopting the historical dialecticism of Hegel and Marx, which says actually it's based on the idea of conflict, the conflict between Judaism and Christianity. Why? Because once in the theology, it was once the Jews were the chosen people, but now Christians took over, and they are the new Jews. And there's no room for others, but the Jews can stay on, you know, on small fire. They should be there for comparison.
Professor Rottenberg, just give me a moment to remind our listeners that we're speaking to Professor Mordechai Rottenberg, author of The Psychology of Tzimtzum, brand new from Maggid Books, a division of Koren Publishers, Jerusalem. Go ahead, you were saying.
Yeah, and I'm saying, so I discovered that, and I I really killed myself to find Hegel's original thinking, and he was really using theology, saying my idea of thesis and antithesis is based on that the Jews were first the thesis, but then comes an antithesis, which is the Christian, and they come instead of the Jews, replacing the Jews. But it's not nice to speak about such an, anti-Semitic even notion. So he says that let's talk about all the development of nations, the Hittim and the Parsim and all they don't exist anymore. They contributed what they had to the world, but they disappeared. He said the Greeks, they contributed the beauty and sculpture and art, but they don't exist anymore as such. And Romans contributed the administrative bureaucratic system in life, but they don't exist anymore as such. The Jews contributed the idea of monotheism, but they don't exist anymore. And everybody knows what Arnold Toynbee, the historian, said, that the Jews are fossils. They don't exist anymore. And Hegel also used the idea that we are like a wave in the ocean. It's we are there, we are floating, but we don't contribute anymore. It all went over to the Christians. And Marx came and developed his whole idea of historical dialecticism on that basis, by saying, you know, once there was vagabonds, and then the farmers, and instead of the farmers came the bourgeois, and I make it short, and instead of the bourgeois, there's a conflict between them. This is the way he phrased it, between them and the workers, and the workers will replace the bourgeois. So I said one day, what's happening on the individual level? And I discovered and I claimed that Freud really, as he went along, he was a 19th century scholar in Vienna, and he said, okay, Oedipus on the individual level is the same. He has to kill his father, his past, and rule instead of the father, King Laius. And this is the same dialectic idea. So I came out and I said, I propose an alternative approach to intergenerational tension or relationship, which is based on the idea of Arcadia. The Arcadia is saying, okay, father and sons are might be in tension. There might be a rivalry. There might be all kind of even desires to eliminate the other. But at the last moment, the biblical legend tells us that Isaac was not offered. He was not, he was I called it paradoxical relationship. It looks as if there is a tension between the Isaacs and the Abrahams, but it can always be reconciled by rearranging the relationship between the father, the Isaacs, and the Abrahams. And this is, if somebody knows the notion of even if a sharp sword is put on your neck to be slaughtered, like Isaac, never give up. In the last minute, there can be a new organization of relationship.
And a salvation. And a salvation. There could be a salvation at the last moment.
Salvation is more of a Christian idea.
Well, I didn't mean it. I didn't mean it like that. I meant that the person whose life is being threatened could be saved. That's what I meant. We have about 5 minutes left. I want to talk about why is this book now appearing in English, and what will people gain from the psychology of Tzimtzum?
All right. I have three more dimensions, but which I'll not talk about. Then, you know, it relates to the intergenerational, the interpsychic, with the tshuva idea. It's different from the original sin. And the Darwinistic survival of the fittest is replaced in my theory with a Zvulon and Zohar. We'd make partnership between them. And on the supernatural level, I introduce Pardes as a psychology. This Pshat, Remez, Drash, we make room even for irrational tensions between generations and between people. And it's legitimate. You don't have to be put away on the ship of fools like they did in the 15th century. You don't have to be stigmatized as a fool, as a court jester. So now what I have to say is that the idea of Tzimtzum can be applied on all levels. I now moved, even in my two last books, to the international, on the universal level, because I think that the making space for others is the key understanding which can replace the fundamentalistic Allah Akbar, you know, my God is bigger than yours, and the missionary approach, I'll tell you what God wants. And I'm saying, no, you make fools. We have 70 ponim la Torah. We have 70 ways of interpretation. There's always place for elu va'elu. This is true. This is true. You can talk about everything, and even if it's contradictory. So we have receipts for actually introducing this democratic idea into the Western world and Western civilization by saying, this is the way you learn to live in a world of conflict. And that's, you know, you have to respect the other's idea. It's like Voltaire said, I disagree with you, but I'll fight for my life to give you the permission to express yourself. Right. So I say we introduced it. We have the Altikri. Don't read like this. Read it differently. It's all versed in the Kabbalic system. So now, I didn't do anything, but the word is out there that my introduction on my theory can be universalized. And Koren, that you mentioned before, approached me and said, can we translate it? And I said, go ahead. And they popularized it in a certain way. I went over it and I said, go ahead. I'm 84 years old. I can't go out and, you know, and preach in the Hyde Parks, except my prophetic new therapeutic approach. But I'll help as much as I can. And here's an example. I've talked to you.
I understand. And I thank you very much for that. We're out of time, but thank you so much for joining us. And good luck on the new book.
Good luck. Thank you very much.
I appreciate you joining us. Professor Mordechai Rotenberg, The Psychology of Tzimtzum is the book, a Magid release. Koren Publishers, of course. Go to korenpub.com, korenpub.com. He's Professor Emeritus at Hebrew University, Chair of the Rotenberg Institute for Jewish Psychology, author of 13 books. In 2009, he won the Israel Prize for his pioneering work in the field of Jewish psychology. His works are read worldwide, inspiring educators and therapists to apply the principles of Tzimtzum to their therapeutic methods. We take this opportunity to thank Professor Rotenberg for joining us on this edition of By the Book, brought to you by our friends at Koren Publishers. By the Book, korenpub.com, korenpub.com. Every Wednesday, 9:30 a.m. Eastern Time, right here on the Nachum Segal Network.
Mm-hmm.